Here we go.
Great. So did you want to tell us about your podcast?
Sure. My podcast is called Arthro-Pod. I have to put the dash in there because there is a competing podcast called Arthro Podcast, who has a similar name to me. And it's just an entomology sort of entertainment show, I guess I'd say. A little bit of edutainment. Trying to teach people the basics about entomology so that they can appreciate insects a little bit more. Maybe love them a little more rather than hate them. And hopefully teach them about economically and environmentally sustainable ways to perform pest control.
Oh, very nice.
How about Bugs and Stuff? Which is a name I am super jealous of, actually.
We took a long time to decide on the name. Well, honestly, it started out being something kind of similar to, well, our hopes were to be something similar to what you're doing. But it kind of just turned into us talking about our experience as graduate students instead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot more stuff, a little less bugs, but
we have some on the list coming up eventually.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Bugs and stuff. It heavy on the stuff, light on the bugs.
Yeah, for now at least. Yeah.
I think that's important, though. I mean, people need to hear about this stuff if they want to be scientists, right?
Yeah, that's what we thought. I mean, there's a lot of things going into grad school that we never knew about. I think it's important to talk about that stuff.
Mm-hmm. And where are you at for grad school?
We are both finishing in August. We're graduating.
Technically. But both of us are doing our defenses next month.
Yeah. Right on. So
for our masters. Mm-hmm.
And what lab are you in?
Oh, we're in the Pollini lab. We work with Dr. Shannon Pollini.
Cool. Mm-hmm. And what do you work on?
Pretty baller.
Yeah, she's pretty awesome. We both do things with, or we both study how micronutrients are affecting soil invertebrates. Sweet. And decomposition rates.
Cool.
So Carrie and I both put out decomposition bags, which are these little like mesh baggies with leaves inside, and we set them out into forests with different micronutrients. So I used calcium, zinc, and sodium, and Carrie used calcium and zinc.
Yep.
And she was in Hawaii.
Yeah,
so
I didn't need the sodium. I was on an island.
But so we set them out for over the summer, and yeah. That's what
we're just looking at the bugs.
And we looked at who was there and how much they were eating. Most of our lab does is a lot of ecosystem processing with invertebrates.
Cool. I did that on a golf course. Not nearly as exciting as Hawaii, but
What was the golf course, somewhere warm?
It was in Lexington, Kentucky. So yeah, the summer it's warm.
I guess Kentucky's okay. Yeah. I've never been to Lexington. The part of Kentucky I was in was a little sketchy, though.
Did you find a lot? I feel like golf courses are just, like, very not diverse.
Yeah, they're low on the spectrum, I would say. But, yeah, we found quite a bit of springtails and orobatid mites, and we found a lot of earthworms and things like that.
Cool.
What have you been finding?
Well, that is the question. Well, I don't know.
I guess I'm like in the middle.
Yours is better than mine.
My thesis is almost done. So, I found a lot of orobatid mites, especially in my, calcium bags, which was interesting. I think some predator prey interaction stuff is happening that's decreasing the amount of decomp in some of the bags. What else? I found a lot of, predatory mites. So that between the predatory and the orobatid mites, there might be some predator-prey interactions.
Cool.
A lot of small stuff. Very small stuff. But
that's the important stuff sometimes, though.
Yeah, but up in Michigan, they have giant millipedes, which are pretty cool, too. Yeah, they have these. Well, they're not, like, as big as some giant millipedes, but they are, like,
they're pretty big. They're, I would, like, call them giant.
Yeah, they're, like,
I mean, they're not, there's nothing from Africa, right. But
they're, like, as long as your finger. Yeah.
Relatively.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
And they have red legs, and they're so cute.
I want one as a pet now.
Mm-hmm. I think they're Narcissus americanus. I think that's their scientific name. But I don't know they're like if they have a common name because we just call them the giant millipedes.
Red legs.
Probably not. I feel like it's hard to give a millipede a common name.
Yeah.
Derek Hinnon might know. Do you know Derek Hinnon?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he might know. He could tell us.
Yeah, probably could.
Yeah.
Shout out.
So if you're doing all that outdoors, what brought you into podcasting? Like, what made you want to do this as a side thing?
We love podcasts.
Okay.
We spend a ridiculous amount of time listening to podcasts, especially while underneath the microscope. Well, we're not under the microscope, the Bucksack, but it's nice to listen to something while you're doing something like that. And I wanted to do this initially, and I started doing it by myself, and it just wasn't as fun. And so I tricked Caitlin into joining me.
I totally understand that feeling. I feel very alone when I do a show.
But you get to talk to all these cool people.
That's why I started doing the guests, was because I felt very lonely.
Yeah. It's just not as entertaining to hear one person talk, especially someone who's not good at putting fun sounds into their podcast.
Okay. You're not good at like the...
Yeah. Yeah,
like Radiolab style?
Yeah, Radiolab or like Science Versus. They have a bunch of fun sounds in there.
Yeah. Oh.
So what are like your top three played podcasts?
Oh, I really love Radiolab.
Yeah, I do too. They're probably one of my faves.
I also like Stuff You Should Know. If you've ever listened to them, that's where we kind of copied our conversational style off of. But they sound a little more prepared than we ever do. Mm-hmm. What else?
Well, I listen to some non-biology related podcasts. I like Dear Sugar a lot.
I don't know
if you've ever heard it. It's on NPR. It's called Dear Sugar. And they just give advice to people. I just like listening to other people's life stories.
It's pretty fun, right? That's one of the things I love about podcasts, is you get to hear other people's tales.
Yeah. That's one of my faves. I think. And Radiolab and Science Friday and all those.
The usuals.
I'm going to check out Dear Sugar. I'm writing it down now.
Sounds like I thought it was going to be a cooking thing.
It's with, if you know Cheryl Strayed, she's one of the co-hosts. She wrote Wild, which is the book about her hiking the Pacific Crest Trail.
Oh,
cool.
Yeah.
So what brought you to podcasting then?
I got into it because I wanted to do something cool that wasn't being done in extension with entomology. I looked around and I knew that people could make videos, but I didn't seem to have the know-how to do that. I didn't have the fancy video equipment or anything, and I did have some podcast-making equipment, so I thought that's what I'll do. That seems simpler and cooler anyway. That way people don't have to look at me. They can just hear my voice. And there weren't too many active entomology podcasts going on, so I thought that was a cool route to go down. That's kind of why I picked it.
How do you just have podcasting equipment lying around?
Oh, I guess I would say I'm on another show, a secret show, that I won't discuss in a professional setting. I do a nerdy podcast with some friends, and so I already had a bunch of the equipment.
Oh, cool. That's cool. So you weren't an entire stranger to podcasting.
No, I already knew about Audacity, and I had the mixer and the fancy...
A long time ago.
What's that?
We should have came to you a long time ago. Oh. Just going through this whole SoundCloud debacle.
That's how I was listening to you. You sounded good on SoundCloud.
Yeah, well, we didn't know that you couldn't make podcasts for free.
Oh.
So eventually SoundCloud was like, oh, you reached your limit. And we were like, oh, what do we do now?
Yeah.
Well, I'm totally free. I do archive.
You archive it.
Yeah.
Oh.
And that's free. I mean, sometimes archive is down, but it's free.
It's too late. We already committed to a year of SoundCloud.
You're already paid.
SoundCloud does give us a good stats. A lot
we
of
can see now which cities people are listening to our podcast in, which is wild.
Dude, yeah, that's awesome.
And it
has a little play count at the bottom, I noticed, when I was listening to you. You have a lot of really listens already. How are you getting your podcast out to people? Like, what are some of the ways you're advertising it?
Twitter?
Yeah, we use Twitter a lot. Twitter.
I mean, we have a blog, too, but I don't know how much traffic that actually gets.
Yeah.
I think it's honestly mostly Twitter.
Yeah, I think so too.
I mean, we trick people in our department into listening to it, but as for strangers, and of course our parents listen to it.
Yeah.
That was a proud moment for me when my mom said, I listened to your podcast. I like it. That's fun. You should do more things like that.
Oh, that's so funny. That's pretty funny.
Have you thought about doing it at ESA? Are you going to have are you going to do a visit to ESA and a recording at the Entomology Society meeting?
Oh, I never thought of that.
Yeah, I guess we started this pretty much right after we went to ICE.
So we went to the International Entomology Conference.
Yeah.
And then we came back and our first podcast was about that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But I never thought of recording at the conference.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
That would be really neat.
We could, I did it in Minnesota. They gave me a table and they let me record people as they walked by. We could have a whole podcast booth.
Oh, that would be so cool. Sweet.
Yeah. Well, maybe we should email Richard and ask him about this for Denver. Are you going to go to Denver?
I don't know. I haven't planned on it yet, but I'm assuming should I continue on to a PhD, I'll be going.
Right on.
Should I continue?
So what does that situation look like right now for both of you?
Well, I'm graduating, and I don't want to go on to a PhD. Righteous. So I've been just job searching lately. I'd really like to go into something with science communication or some kind of writing intensive job.
Cool.
I like writing a lot, but, or using this, I don't know, as we've been doing this, I found that I enjoy talking about other people's science way more than I enjoy doing my own science, but I like talking about other people's science way more.
Science reporting.
Yeah. So that would be really cool. Carrie, what are you doing?
I really like the more interactive science communication, especially with children. Mm-hmm. I want to get into some kind of citizen science thing. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Cool. I know some cool people that do that. It's always a lot of fun, it seems like, those projects that they get involved with.
Yeah.
Monarch Watch and the Lost Ladybug Project.
That's always fun. I just need to know how to make it, rigorous enough for a PhD. That's my advisor's main concern right now.
That's the tough part. That's always the tough part.
Yeah, right. Especially because she doesn't have any experience in that. Oh. So it's really going to be me starting.
But it sounds like you both really like reaching out to the general public and talking about science. So how do you do that nowadays? It seems like so many people don't want to hear from scientists anymore.
I don't think we've ever had a problem with somebody shutting us down just because we're scientists.
Yeah. I feel like you get better. I feel like as a grad student, it's a little easier because you're a little younger. And especially if you're talking to a younger audience, that you're a little more approachable, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. We tend to do most of our outreach with grade school students.
Yeah.
And I'm working with the school right now to help their students, just little third graders. So they don't know all of the problems that go along with science yet. And they're just happy to wonder and ask questions.
I've been focusing a lot on middle schoolers lately. So they're starting to see it, some of them.
I like middle schoolers, though.
I do, too. That's why I focused on it. Because it's kind of an interesting time in life. You need to start thinking about the future, but you don't really want to.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a fun group to work with.
They haven't lost hope yet, but they're still a little older, so they can do more complicated things.
Yeah, we've been doing grasshopper dissections a lot. Oh, that's always fun.
Whoa. Grasshoppers.
Not a
Gary
fan of...
hates grasshoppers.
Orthopterans are your enemies? Did
Too
one bite you?
Too many moments of locomotion. Get out of here.
I have some of those reactions from the students. Mostly about the smell of the grasshoppers in the bucket.
But yeah, because you keep them in the formaldehyde or ethanol or something.
It's called,
I don't know if you actually use formaldehyde anymore.
It's called Carolina's Perfect Solution.
Oh.
Sounds like a salad dressing.
Yeah. Well, you had a very traumatic experience and a real reason to hate grasshoppers.
Yeah, this summer, so one of our lab mates, she was doing a project in a field, and there was just this, like, it was like a part, like the sea of grasshoppers would part as you walked through this field. And she eventually started using them, so they were like a blessing in disguise. But when, like, her other part of the project kind of fell apart, but they were, we had to like catch them with our hands because we had to keep them alive to throw them in these mesocosms. And so you had to catch them and they try to like squirm away and then they knock off a leg and it's just, it's a horrible experience.
And they spit that brown stuff at you. Yeah. I dislike orthopterans of all varieties. They're my least favorite order, I think.
Worst order.
What is your favorite bug, though?
My favorite insect? I accidentally raised a Cecropia moth once.
Oh,
and
wow.
It hatched so out in the middle of the night, and that was when I was like, I think I want to be an entomologist. It was pretty cool.
Oh, that's cool. I don't have any stories like that.
How did you get introduced to bugs?
Do you want to talk about your ant murders?
Well, when I was a kid, I used to, like, go outside and collect ants and see what they would do and how they would interact with each other. And then I really didn't think about bugs at all until I was an undergrad and I did an independent study on soil invertebrates in ag fields and looking at tilled and non-tilled fields and, like, seeing how many soil invertebrates were there. And my advisor, she wasn't really an expert in bugs, so I had to teach myself how to ID all these insects.
Dang.
So then I was like, well, I learned all these skills and I think they're pretty cool. So I might as well try to find a graduate program that I can do that again.
Bugs by default.
Yeah. So, but I really enjoy researching them too. It wasn't just totally like, oh, I guess I'll study them. I really enjoyed how like they decompose and they're like ecosystem services, I guess.
Not how they fall apart and turn into nutrients in the soil themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you murder your ants on your way to a degree, or?
I didn't. I was dealing with already dead bugs. So in my undergrad, before my sophomore year in college, I couldn't have cared less about a bug. And then I met Shannon, my soon-to-be advisor, and she let me do, like, undergraduate research in her lab, and I was IDing bugs for her, and I just thought it was so fun. And I started liking the bugs under the microscope and thinking they were cute, and then I knew I was already lost, so I might as well stay.
I hear a lot of stories like that. I always think that's cool when people just like, this seems fun. I'm going to do this forever now.
Yeah, it's fun. And we also have, at BGSU, we have a really awesome entomology professor that really made it so fun to think about bugs. So I think he was a big player, too.
Good old Dan Pavick.
I don't know Dan. I'll have to meet him someday.
Oh, yeah.
Mine was,
anybody would love him.
Tom Turpin. Have you ever heard of him or met him at Purdue? Tom Turpin?
No.
No? He's like the kindly entomology professor there that sort of taught us all about it. Well, that was where I got my undergrad.
I bet Dan knows him.
Probably. He knows everyone.
Probably
he goes to all the entomology conferences. So. Yeah.
They probably have matching butterfly bow ties.
Oh, that would be amazing. Wow. Now we're going to have to ask Dan tomorrow.
Tom Turpin.
What have been some of the struggles you've had with your podcast?
Mostly just trying to figure it all out.
Right.
So we had a hard time when we decided to buy a nice microphone. And we did buy a nice microphone, but figuring out which one was the best was a struggle. And then, like, what was it? 2 weeks later, we found out we had to buy SoundCloud.
Yeah, we were like, which oh, apparently great. We don't actually have to buy SoundCloud.
Right, yeah, but... whatever.
I didn't mean to pop your balloon. I'm sorry.
Hey, everybody's like, everywhere that I looked, a lot of people use either Blueberry or SoundCloud. So, like, we were like, oh, we have to get one of these things now.
And we tried Blueberry, and it was just the most confusing thing that I've ever experienced in my whole life.
I'm somehow on Blueberry. I've never talked to them, but I found my podcast on there once. I just look around on the internet sometimes, and these random podcatchers have me, and I'm like, I never signed up for your services, so hope I don't get a bill someday from Blueberry.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, that is strange. I don't know. We like SoundCloud because it's more user-friendly for us and for our listeners, I think.
But especially for us.
Yeah. But I guess, like, another big problem was, like, just losing the first few episodes, and then we just re-uploaded. So now everything's back on there, but, like, losing your previous listens.
Yeah, so it looks like nobody cared about us until, like, episode 5.
I was wondering about that when I was on SoundCloud. I was like, why did they have this huge jump in, like, 350 listeners?
Yeah, it wasn't like that.
No, it was originally only a little bit better. I think our first ones still weren't that popular, but...
they had, like, 50 to 80 listens on them.
Okay. Not 7.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was really confused. Somebody must have retweeted them starting with this one.
Yeah, right. Discovered.
Hit it big. I have a lot of trouble finding guests.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. People either ignore my emails or they turn me down.
Oh, no.
People get nervous, I think. Scientists don't like talking to people. Have you ever noticed that?
No. Well, I mean, we don't have a lot of guests, but yeah. We've asked a couple of people, and everybody's like, oh, yeah, totally.
But I guess we haven't asked. We've asked a lot of,
I guess, people we know.
Yeah, and a lot of them have been grad students.
Yeah.
Grad students are quicker to say yeah. That's been my experience.
It's not as scary for them to be on a podcast, I feel like, compared to somebody who's, like, never listened to one.
Oh, probably don't even know what it is.
It's been tough to explain to my bosses what it is. Like, they're like, this is technologically advanced, I can tell, but I don't really know what a podcast is. You'll have to explain this to me. And then it's like a radio show. You can listen to whatever you want. Like, I don't know about this. Why aren't you just on the radio?
It's like Netflix for radio.
Yeah, that's great. That's even better. I like that. Can I borrow that when I get my evaluation later this week? Netflix for your ear holes.
Yes, I like that better. Ear holes. That sounds gross.
Have you had a favorite guest or like anybody you really enjoyed talking to?
And you don't have to say us.
Well, this has been a lot of fun so far. This has been like a really easy interview for me. Dr. Webb, Cameron Webb was on my show. He's an Australian mosquito expert. And he was just like the easiest person to interview. I just would ask him a question and then 15 minutes later we'd be done with his answer. And it was like, this is just great content. We're just filling it up. I love this. He was just really easy to interview.
Wow.
And he had a sweet, sweet Australian accent.
Yeah.
Well, that's obviously a bonus.
Yeah, that was super
nice.
All
your listeners were probably like, woo.
Yeah, exactly. Even I was like, I could just listen to you talk.
Australian guy for a whole hour, whatever.
How about you? Do you have a favorite episode you've done thus far?
I really like the outreach one, but that's probably just because I love outreach.
I like listening to that one. I could tell you were really passionate when I was listening to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think our most, like, our fan favorite is the one where we talked about applying to grad school.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. That was pretty cool. Do you have a different favorite? I don't know.
No, I think that's probably one of my favorites. I also really liked the last, not this past one, but the one where we talked about weird things scientists do. It was just fun to talk about that stuff. I don't know. And it was fun to tell, like, my stories from the summer on that one. Yeah.
Scientists always have good war stories.
Yeah. Yes, we do. Mm-hmm.
I tried to get a bunch of those at the ESA that I mentioned. That was sort of my hook, was tell me a 3-minute story about like either the worst or best experience you had in the field.
Oh my God, that sounds amazing.
And there were some good ones. One woman, her project had to do with like using bees to scare away elephants or something like that. It was really interesting. She would set up stations of bees, and then the elephants wouldn't come through the area and trample the farmers' crops anymore.
Wow. Wow. That's weird. Yeah. Why?
They'd get stung. They would come over to the bees, and then they'd get stung, and an elephant never forgets, right, quote unquote. So then they wouldn't come and mess with the bees anymore. I'm trying to remember all the details, but it was something like that.
That makes sense.
I thought they would like wouldn't be able to get stung because they got that big old grandpa skin.
Yeah.
Scientific term. Yeah. But now we each have a new favorite episode, and it's this one, right?
Right. Obviously.
What advice do you have for people that want to other people that want to start a podcast?
Do it.
Yeah.
If you want to do it, just open up GarageBand and start talking to it about whatever you want to talk about.
There's podcasts for everything and podcasts for nothing. So, I mean, really.
Yeah, and you get better at it as you go along. Oh, yeah. And you even notice you get better at speaking.
Yeah.
The number of likes we say now has gone down significantly.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's still not great.
Yeah.
Mine is and. I just keep saying and.
Everybody has those filler words. Yeah. But hopefully this will help us maybe even speak in public when in real life to people. That's my hope, at least.
And maybe speaking to no one makes you speak better to everyone. Yeah. That's fine.
Well, I'm speaking to everyone. But then you just can't see them.
So you're just going to have to close your eyes during all your presentations.
During my thesis defense, I'll just keep my eyes closed and be like, I'm just talking to bugs and stuff right now.
We'll make you like one of those beauty masks, but they'll have bugs all over them. It'll be great.
Yeah, it can have, it'll look like moth eyes.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
I like it. Maybe that you could live cast your defense.
Oh, we will. Could.
You better live tweet my defense.
Oh, I'll live tweet your defense.
That was not a problem when I was in school. I feel so old right now. Nobody was tweeting during my seminar. I don't think. Maybe they were.
You could give another one and we'll live tweet it.
Okay. Maybe at ESA this year.
Yes. Now I really want to go to USA.
I know.
Yeah, we need a podcast booth.
That'd be so cool.
When is it this year?
November 7th or something like that.
We could totally do it.
Yeah.
You want to go to Colorado, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Maybe by then I'll have like a big girl job that I could like fund it.
Oh, yeah, properly.
Probably not, but...
Maybe by then they'll pay us to do a podcast.
Maybe.
Pay people.
Write a grant to the University of Nebraska. I'll see what we can do. Perfect. I know they don't go here, but they're like super cool. And they just want to go to Colorado for academic reasons.
Yeah, we should write grants. Have you ever written a grant or anything for science communication?
For your podcast? Not for my podcast, but I have a grant right now that I'm sort of going through that's for an infographic about bed bugs and bed bug control. And we're getting it translated into about 6 languages. So I got the grant for the drawings and for all of the translations that I have to.
That's awesome.
Really cool.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I think it'll be really well utilized. We have a large immigrant population here in Omaha, where we've got like people from all over the world that get settled here, and so a lot of them end up with bed bugs, and they don't know what to do about it, and we can't communicate with them with our normal written publications because they're all in English.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
That is really cool.
How'd you find that opportunity?
We have some internal grants at the university that I applied for, and one that's like Friends of Extension. They offered me some money for it too. But I go around online and look for like science communication or like ag communication grants. I've got one that I'm trying to write right now for some equipment to make videos. I am going to try and branch out. I know I said earlier I didn't know how to do it, but I want to learn, darn it.
Yeah. That's what we keep saying, too. Mm-hmm.
My goal is to someday be as cool as the bug chicks.
Oh, yeah.
Us, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we're closer a little bit because we're two girls. But
yeah. I asked them once if we could get, like, if I could get a shirt that said honorary bug chick, because I know I can't actually be a bug chick, but I would like to be an honorary one.
And they didn't do that for you?
They said they'd work on it. We'll see. Maybe in the future.
Okay, that's acceptable then.
They've been busy trying to be awesome entomologists otherwise.
Yeah, it's hard.
You can't just make demands of them. What are some of the things you have planned for your next few episodes after this one, of course?
So the planning thing. We have a pretty big list of things we want to talk about, but it always ends up being, oh, let's do this instead, or this person wants to talk to us, let's do that instead.
I intruded, I apologize.
Oh, no, it's okay.
Okay.
This is a lot easier than planning an actual episode, especially while Caitlin's freaking out about her defense coming up.
True.
So,
yeah, the next, like, month is going to be a little crazy.
Yeah.
So.
Based on this one interaction I've had with you, I think that you'll pass with flying colors.
Okay. Yeah, be fine.
You'll do great. You can stop worrying now. You don't even think about it again.
It'll be fine. It'll just get itself done.
The bugs will ride it.
Yeah.
Worst advice ever.
But we are thinking about after our theses are done, we're going to talk about doing a defense.
For sure.
And what's that like, since we do talk a lot about grad school in general. And then maybe if we're brave enough, we'll talk about it. What's next, maybe. if I ever make a decision.
Caitlin already knows what she's doing
or what I want to do.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's half the battle.
Yeah,
I think that's really cool. Those sound like cool ideas, because that's stuff that people don't always think about when they're in grad school. They don't always have that forethought. So if you can tell them about it, they might think about it a little more and earlier.
And we'll all be better grad students because of it.
Yes. Or maybe just less bitter grad students. Yeah. Maybe we can cut down on that.
Maybe.
You want to close us out?
Yeah, we can close, we can finish it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. How do you usually end it?
I just say, like, I'll see you next time on Arthropod or something like that.
Yeah, we say, we'll love you, see you, goodbye.
I need a cool sign-off like that.
Yeah? You missed out. You can use it if you want.
let me write it down.
Well, it was great talking to you.
Yeah.
It was awesome meeting you. This has been exciting. I'm excited to tweet about you and to promote your stuff in the future. I hope we can do more cross-pollination in the future.
Yeah, definitely. I think we should.
Yeah. We should keep the ESA idea alive.
The ESA.
Yes. Podcast boom.
Bug podcasts have to stick together, yo.
Yes.
And thank you for being on Arthropod. I'm excited to put this out here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, thank you for talking to us. We're excited, too.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we love you. See you. Goodbye.
Yeah.